And then we get 10 minutes into it and I'm thinking, I this forgot how fucking good we are. Yeah.
And then you arrogant bastard.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James, and today I'm joined by two of our correspondents looking forward to next midweek's Game Week 24 encounter at the Etihad. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Manchester City correspondent, Johnny Pringle. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah, good, thank you, James. Thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure, mate, no problem. And our Brentford correspondent, Tom Med, is in the house. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, mate. You said enjoying, looking forward to this week's game at the Etihad. I don't think we've enjoyed it. Looking forward to it's really the right words for it. But
you've had a rough run with COTCs, Chelsea, Tottenham, Man City. I promise to try and find you an easy one before the end, mate.
It's almost like you've planned them or something.
With that in mind, Johnny, must start with you, my friend. Title, is it in the bag?
Nah, it never was.
Bullshit, it's in the bag, isn't it? Nah.
City fans will tell you that. City fans won't tell you that. They'll never tell you that. It's because we've been on the other side of it. When we're 8 points behind United with six games to go and came back to win. Now, I know why people are saying it. It's got all the sort of hallmarks of the classic sort of City, that mad run over Christmas and sort of took it away from people. But, yeah, maybe the last game week's brought it back a little bit. I am confident we will go on to win it, but I don't think it's by any means over.
So currently you're what, 9 points clear of Liverpool?
Yeah, nine clear with a game. They've got a game in hand.
Which we think now, at the time of recording, is probably going to be in game week 26 against Leeds. But then obviously you play in 27 and they won't play in 27. So then they'll be back to a game behind again. I guess they might catch up potentially in game week 29. But you're nine ahead. If they win the game in hand, it's six. If they win at the Etihad in game week 32, it's only 3 points.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Liverpool need to go on a mad run, though, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that sort of gives me confidence is, like, I think even last weekend, I think we were unlucky in the end against Southampton, and I think Liverpool were quite lucky against Palace. Going off the pure form and... if you look at statistics, the XG stats, Liverpool look, or City look better placed to drop less points, if you know what I mean. But yeah, title races are all about momentum, especially at this stage. So the more wins Liverpool put together, yeah, they could put themselves right back in it.
That's obviously the toughest game you've got left, game week 32. Can I ask, what do you think is the toughest away game you've got left?
Christ, let me have a look.
I'll shout them to you.
We've done all the big six, haven't we? Because I remember once we beat Arsenal,
upset West Ham and Wolves fans now, haven't you?
That's when, all right, the traditional big six.
the Super League six, Johnny, we know what we are.
Yeah, sellouts. Once we'd beaten Arsenal, I think that's when the talk really started to emerge, was like, right, we haven't got any traditional big six teams away. Yeah, all right, Norwich, Everton, Palace, Burnley, Wolves, Leeds, West Ham. Wolves or West Ham, yeah. One of them two.
It's towards the end, so
you'd hope that we'd have a decent points lead by then.
It's nothing to fear, though, is it?
I don't know. I think it's like, not to fear, but like... It'll be tough games, tricky games, especially if you need the win. I mean, like I said, if we're like 6 or 8 points clear, yeah, it won't be a disaster if you get a draw. But I mean, if it's anything like the 18-19 title race by then, you don't want to be going to 10 places like desperate for the 3 points.
Well, no, I think if Liverpool do go and win 7-8 games in a row, then beat you at the Etihad, then you go to Wolves away immediately afterwards. Yeah. Depending on their league position, might look tricky. West Ham's not till game week 37, but yeah, you've got the run of the fixtures as well, and the fact obviously Liverpool have to come to yourselves rather than the other way round as well. I can't see beyond you, but I'm not going to call it and say it's done and it's over. I learnt my lesson last year by ruling your team out, mate, and you steamed back into it. It was interesting. We were talking. Interesting, you mentioned the Arsenal game. Because I think the manner of the victory that day was so kind of influential as well in the fact that you probably didn't deserve to win that day, if you're being honest.
Not at all.
And me and Suj have been speaking for weeks saying eventually someone's going to win 10 in a row at some point, and that's what will separate the three teams if we include Chelsea in the conversation. And we blinked and it was like, City are on 10. They've done it.
We did the same as last season. I can't remember if I said it on a previous pod that I came on, but I just said, I think we're going to go on a mad run. I think we were like 4 or 5 games into it at like the start of December. And I just said, I can see us going on like another 12, 13 game winning streak here. And yeah, that's what I mean. I think another big fixture was Liverpool v Chelsea, wasn't it? Once they drew, I think we'd beaten Arsenal the day before and everyone was getting really down about it. Like, oh, City just keep winning and Liverpool and Chelsea taking points off each other. That felt like a big weekend.
Yeah. What did you make of Guardiola's comments after the Southampton game about it was one, of the, it was one of the best performances of the season?
Oh, it's just him being sarcastic again. I mean, I didn't like wholly disagree with him. I think it was a bad 20, 30 minutes, but after that, I think we played very well. I think he's obviously exaggerating to say it's one of the best performances of the season, but you can just tell. I think what Pep hates the most is how results are judged by literal results, if you know what I mean. He just goes off performances and how well we prevent counter attacks and how many like how we dominate the game. Like, he's not bothered if we create a hatful of chances and we miss them. He just wants to limit counter attacks and chances conceded and control the game. And we did that very well against Southampton for like the last 60 minutes. So in his eyes, we've played very well and just been unlucky. But everyone else is saying,
well, it completely ignored the first half hour, didn't it? Because you could have been 2 down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what... He's just being pedantic, isn't he? He's like that, Pep.
I was annoyed with myself as well, because the last time you were on, we spoke about why was Southampton a problem fixture for you? And I'd completely forgotten about it. And as soon as I was watching the game, I was like, canal, Johnny's told us about this Southampton team can be a problem for him. We won't cover that ground again. Tom, do you feel safe from the drop? 23 points from 23 played. I think it's fair to say 1 point per game will probably be enough. But are you a bit concerned?
The last four have been obviously pretty shocking, but we've had some pretty tough games in that. Liverpool obviously got absolutely stuffed by Southampton and ourselves. That was, I think, probably the worst performance of the year. I mean, that was embarrassing, really. I watched the whole game and that was shocking. Then United, I thought we played a bit better. And then the last game against Wolves, I thought we played much better again. First half, I think they were all over us, but they've been playing really well themselves. So I think we've got a nicer run of fixtures after City. I think this is the last sort of real tough game for a while, and that's where we need to start picking up points. I don't think we're safe. I think it's more the case this year, and this is where I come to eat my words later on in May next year, when I think we're just better than the teams that are down the bottom this year. It's not that we're safe, it's just there's worse teams around us.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that comment, to be honest, Tom. I don't think anybody's sitting here at the moment thinking Brentford will go down. I think there's a little bit of concern that you might get sucked in if the next sort of 6 game weeks or so go bad. Because part of the reason you are here is after City, Palace at home, Arsenal away, Newcastle at home, Norwich away, Burnley at home, that's a key spell, isn't it? Where you can pull away from it. Or if it goes really badly, and then you're looking on the other side at really tough fixtures again, sort of Leicester, Chelsea, West Ham, then it's potentially you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we start, for example, if we lose points down to like Burnley and Newcastle, obviously they're the sort of teams that we can't be losing points to at the moment. So we always seem to play a bit better against the bigger teams. I don't really know. I think we're still in that mentality where we think we're pretty, you know, we're not a Premier League side. It's like when we had the cup run last year, whenever we played sort of the Prem sides, we played much, much better. I think when we played City at our place, obviously it was 1-0, and it actually wasn't a bad game for us. I don't think we played that badly. At all, but it's when we play these sort of mid-table sides like your Southampton, where we got absolutely destroyed. I mean, they just didn't look up for it at all. So hopefully we can pick up the points where we need to in the next few games, and then that'll keep us safe.
Yeah, it's just interesting just thinking back to the teams right at the bottom at the moment. Obviously Newcastle you drew 3-3 at.
Yeah.
Burnley was another really bad performance you had earlier in the season when you lost.
Yeah.
You lost at home to Norwich, which was Daniel Farke's last game in charge.
And their first win.
And Watford you obviously beat on that Friday night, but for a long period it looked like you were going to lose that game as well. Is that psychological, because the pressure's on you, the onus is then on you to win? Because that period, 27, 28, 29, Newcastle, Norwich, Burnley. I mean, conceivably, that's the three that will go down.
Well, yeah, at the moment, it seems to be the case.
Watford fans probably won't agree with that assessment. Yeah. But
I think we're... The problem we've had is we've been missing a few key players as well, which hasn't helped. Obviously, Reyes being out during that time, we had Chris Avaya was out as well in the centre. And I think we're just missing sort of a bit of leadership in the defence. Obviously, Janssen is the captain, but he's not really actually the best defender. And so missing those during those games really didn't help. And they're back, they're fit. And hopefully we'll see more of a more solid defensive unit like what we saw towards the back end of last year at the Championship.
Okay. We'll come on to Christian Eriksen in a sec. I know you kind of want to let yourself go with that because a beaming smile already for the benefit of the audio listeners. Johnny, you bothered at all that City didn't do any business? Or do you think because you've got that lead in the title race, it's a case of wait till the summer? Obviously, Vlahovic went to Juventus, was linked a little bit. Do you expect the club to push through again for a number nine in the summer? Because obviously going back to last summer and the Kane talk and that, the one concern was, will you score enough goals? It doesn't seem to matter for you, mate.
I think we definitely will go in for another striker. I know we say it every time I come on, but the obvious target is Haaland. And I think there seems to be a few more concrete reports recently in that we are like definitely targeting him. I think it was we obviously signed this Julian Alvarez lad from River Plate, haven't we?
Yeah.
And he's joining in the summer at the earliest. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't just bring him in. He's a striker, and we haven't got one. You know, we sold Torres. So I mean, what harm could it do to actually bring in a striker? But whether he comes in. I mean, there's been talk, Sam Lee from The Athletic did an article on, like, if we ended up not buying a striker in the summer, we'd bring him in then. If we did, then we'd let him stay at River Plate until, I don't know, next year or something. But I wasn't concerned. City do the transfer business usually very well these days, particularly since Pep's been here. I think there's a cliche, isn't there, in that teams that are scrambling to buy players in January, it's not a good look, really. I think City have only really made exceptions to that. The recent one that sticks in my head is Laporte. Well, that's because he just came straight in as the best centre-back. So an opportunity. We're going to buy him in the summer anyway. Just snap him up and straight into the team. I'm not too bothered that we didn't do anything, really.
Can you see it lasting like this into next season, potentially?
I mean, surely not.
Yeah, but you say that, John, but you're still the best team in the league, basically, mate. The league table tells us that. So it's not hindered you that badly.
It's just it's getting to the point now where like Mahrez, Gundogan, Jesus will have 1 year left on the contracts. So you've got a choice then. Are you going to sign off, like, you're going to sign them back up? If not, then you've got a choice to sort of shift the team around. Like I said, surely if it got to the point where we didn't manage to sign the striker again, like I said, you've got the Alvarez option.
And bring him in.
Yeah, just bring him in, just as a body.
Do you think if you'd had a Kane, you'd be even further ahead? Well, if you'd have gone with Ronaldo, as the other one people talk about, would you have been worse off if you'd have ended up with Ronaldo?
If we'd have signed Kane, we probably would have very likely sold Bernardo Silva for like 40 mil, which is bonkers looking back. I think every City fan in the head last summer sort of had come to terms with the fact that Bernardo wanted to leave and was ready to accept that. I think looking back now, I think we're in a better position now than we would have been if we'd have actually signed Kane and sold Bernardo. That's how big of an effect he's had. I think it's worked out okay.
So your player of the year, would you say?
Definitely so far. Closely followed by Cancelo.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a bit again as well. Tom, go on then. I know you're buzzing to talk about Christian Eriksen. So the floor is yours. How does it feel for Brentford to buy Christian Eriksen?
I think the best way to describe it is, I'm not saying like I am a giant child, but I may or may have not bought his jersey already. So it was only 61.
Can't believe you're not wearing it.
It hasn't arrived yet. I mean, they're out of stock, I think, as well. So, yeah, I mean, just ridiculous. I mean, that sort of sums up, really. It, a player of that quality, like a club, you know, when compared to a club like Brentford at the moment, you know, what, we hold 17,500 people in our ground, we've got Christian Eriksen playing for us. I mean, that sort of is pretty ridiculous. You know, up until last year, our biggest signing was Christoph Eier from Celtic, which, I mean, until he joined Brentford, I don't doubt many people even really knew who he was. And before that was Ivan Toney from Peterborough. So, you know, if you look at the sort of the difference in players, and I know obviously Eriksen's, you know, contract was cancelled at Inter Milan because of obviously the health reasons, but having a player whose previous clubs were Ajax, Tottenham and Inter Milan, and then
thanks for dropping us in.
You're welcome,
mate.
Welcome, mate. yeah, I mean, you know, you've got a Serie A winner there. Champions League finalist with Tottenham. There you go, there's another one for you.
I was just thinking the other two have won a Champions League and we haven't. I was just thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just an unbelievable signing, and it's sort of a no lose for us. I mean, if he has 6 months with us and moves on, you know, best wishes to him. If he has 6 months with us and doesn't really do much, then again, from a money point of view, from an exposure point of view for Brentford, it's massive. Hopefully that's not the case and he comes and joins us. And to be honest, I think if he's 75% of the Christian Eriksen that was at Inter Milan, then it's a huge signing for us. So exactly what we need as well.
Have you heard anything about salary?
I haven't.
No, neither have I.
I have heard that basically, so it's a 6 month contract. It's very widely rumoured and almost confirmed that there's a year extension on that as well. So it basically is a 6 month contract, and then Brentford have the decision of whether they want to extend that for an additional year, which obviously is, again, really positive and excellent news by the team. They've done really well again. Yeah. But no, salary wise, absolutely no idea. I'm not sure whether it's almost one of those where we were lucky and we've just in the right place at the right time where.
I mean, you know, he's obviously not coming on the salary that he would have been on at Inter Milan, which I assume would have been in excess of £100,000 a week, because that's what he was turning down at Tottenham. I think he was turning down 150, I think, possibly, to stay on. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if it's even half that. It's just a really nice feel-good story that works for every party involved. You've had a little sticky period. It gives the whole... Just listening to you speak about it, you can tell it's given everybody at the football club a bit of a lift. It will give the squad a lift. It will give the manager a lift. And it's right for Christian as well. He knows the city. It's a different part of London, obviously. But it's not going to be something that's going to be completely unnatural to him. He's worked with Thomas Frank before as well, which I hadn't realised. So it's a complete win. And obviously, from a Tottenham perspective, I'm personally absolutely delighted that he's back in the league, although I'm a little bit nervous about the fact of game week 34 and him probably ending our Champions League hopes, no doubt. But great to see him back. There's been a lot of people talking about his FPL price, 5.5. And I don't suppose anybody's going to go and buy him this week with City away at the Etihad. But what did you think of the price when you heard?
I mean, it's obviously a good price for a player of his quality, but the problem is that if you really want a Brentford player, all it does is improves the pricing points, really, of Ivan Toney and Brian Mbeumo, because Brian Mbeumo is the same price and plays as a striker. And you've got Ivan Toney, who there aren't any forwards that you can pick from really at the moment to talk about. And by having him, the problem we've had with Toney this year is his role has basically been what Eriksen's will now come in and do. Ivan Toney's been sort of dropping back very much, I guess, a sort of, to a smaller extent, what Kane's been having to do for Tottenham and having to drop back and basically become the creative player. And Toney will now be allowed to do exactly what he can do, and what he does do is stay in the box, poach the goals and do everything that he needs to do from that point of view by having a creative player behind him like Christian Eriksen.
So do you think that's a change of system potentially then to more of, say, a 3-4-1-2? Or, because I just envisage Eriksen playing as part of a midfield three at this stage.
Yeah, I think he will. I think it'll be the same system we've played. Weirdly, we let Charlie Goud go on loan, and so therefore we're sort of lacking numbers at the centre back department now. And so whether that Eriksen coming in,
that's going to play centre back, mate.
No, but indicate move to a four back, and then having more in the middle instead.
Because until sort of what the last 8-10 games of last season, that was primarily what you played was a back four, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4-3-3.
But I just think with Henry and Canos back fit now, that that's part of what you've really missed recently, isn't it? Roslav's covered quite a bit, and he's not done badly, I wouldn't say. But I think Kanos doesn't work as a fullback, does he? The wing.
No. No, and no, he doesn't. I mean, I don't think Kanos really works as a part of a back four very well. So he wouldn't work as a a solitary, like, you know, playing as right back. He would have to play as the right wing back he's been playing as. So whether, if they did go to a four, then Roslev would come in potentially and play that right back position instead, and allow Kanos to play a more forward role, which I think he's better at doing anyway. But yeah, the fact we've signed no defenders means I think we'll probably just stay as what we are. And Eriksen will sit in behind Tony and Mbeumo. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, the way I envisage it is Norgaard plus one doing the donkey work for him.
Yeah, the nice thing is, so obviously you've got Norgaard and Eriksen and Jensen obviously all play for the Danish international team together. But it'll be Norgaard and Janolt playing as two CDMs, and I assume with Eriksen sat in front of them. Or the mythical Josh De Silva.
Yeah, I want to come back onto him, but I'm dying to ask Johnny a question about next week. Are you going to captain, mate, in FPL?
In 20...
I love how Johnny looks at his phone like he doesn't know, because I know that he does know.
Genuinely, I've switched off from it. Tried to switch off from it for this week.
But then James invited me on a podcast and it didn't really work.
Yeah, FPL what? 24 at the moment. Ooh.
You got Liverpool at home to Leicester, yourselves obviously at home to Brentford, you got Tottenham at home to Southampton, Chelsea blank, Manchester United have Burnley away.
I think it depends on whether Salah's back, isn't it? If Salah gets knocked
out, I don't think we're going to know.
No.
So if you decided, and I'm going to presume Johnny's not in your squad at the moment.
No.
If you decide...
I've got a bit of a dilemma in that I've got Trossard on a blank fixture.
Yeah,
and you'd want to hold him for the double after.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'd been lining up Trossard as the full guy for Salah, so but got that, a difficult that, decision there.
That
you want
work.
Me to say? You want me to say Cancelo, don't you?
I want to know if it's a consideration for you.
Yeah, it is. If there was no doubles and there was a little bit of doubt on Salah, looking at them fixtures,
you've got Brentford Wednesday night.
Probably Cancelo. Maybe Jared Bowen.
Brentford Wednesday night. Norwich away Saturday, Sporting Lisbon away the following Tuesday. Kyle Walker's suspended in the Champions League, isn't he? That's made people a bit nervous, I think, in terms of, are we going to get two games with João Cancelo? Or are we actually at a place with him now where he just always plays?
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like he's playing at such a level now. Where if Walker's playing right back, Cancelo has to play left back. Like, Cancelo just has to play. He's such a creative hub in the team. Now, that's what it is starting to feel like. But, yeah, Pep's going to Pep, so don't hold me.
It's like a very cute way of me saying, Johnny, tell me what Pep's going to do, because that's what the listeners want to know. And as ever, you don't know. But we've got to be at a place, I think, with Cancelo and with Bernardo Silva, that they're as close to locked as they can be, right? Those two particularly, it feels like. Bernardo's played, I want to say, started every game since game week 4 or something, I think.
Yeah, it feels like that. Gundogan's been the fall guy recently, strangely. But yeah, like I say, Pep's going to Pep. He could just randomly decide that he doesn't fancy someone for 2-3 weeks. But yeah, Bernardo and Cancelo look like the men this season.
Anyway, I'm going to captain Jared Bowen. I didn't mention him. If I don't buy Mo Salah, I think. Have you got Bowen, Johnny?
I've got Bowen. I jumped on him quite earlier, but not Watford fixture. Yeah, I think he's as good a captain as any this week.
Tom, you got Cancelo?
I do, and he's currently got the captain's armband on as well. So,
elaborate.
Well, I've got Bowen, Salah, and Cancelo. So, I don't know where I'm sat at the moment, to be honest.
So, why is it sitting on Cancelo at the moment then?
I mean, we're playing Man City at the Etihad. I mean, as much of an optimistic fan I am, I'm not that optimistic. I'm not deluded.
So, are you going to start?
That, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you going to start Tony and Mbeumo? Because I know you've still got them both.
No, they're both on the Yeah, of course they do. Both on the bench at the moment.
Didn't you do that for a game a little while ago? And I was giving you loads of grief for that.
Yeah, I did. And they're both blank, so it worked out really well. Fine. But
you know your team best. I take it you wouldn't fancy yourself to score at City then.
I mean, it's just how well they're playing defensively. I mean, I'm not expecting a Kyle Walker-Peters-esque wonder goal to come anywhere near. They just look really good at the back and really solid. Yeah, as Johnny can attest to. So And, you know, it's not like we've been free-flowing and scoring like we were at the start of the season. We've not looked fantastic. I would doubt Eriksen will play in that game either. So,
No, I mean, what a game to bring him into. I mean, the ideal situation, to be honest, is if he's sitting on the bench and if the game's 2-3-0 and you can give him a run around for 20 minutes, great. That's not definitely write you off. But I think, yeah, to throw him in if the game's level and stuff is probably not right against Manchester City, specifically first game. No, I can't see him starting straight away.
So therefore, I can't see us scoring, really.
Okay, generally noted. Johnny, do you think if it wasn't for Cancelo's performances, Aymeric Laporte would be in most people's FPL teams?
Why do you think? Just because he would have been the go-to City defender?
I just think he's got to be roundabouts the most underappreciated player in the game at the moment, doesn't he?
I think it's just because everyone's expecting him to be dropped. I mean, I tweeted something after the Palace game when Laporte gave the first goal away and then got himself sent off. And he'd had a shaky start to the season, but he'd been okay. And I remember thinking, right, surely that Stone's back in now. Pep doesn't hang about with stuff like this. Especially with the talk of him going in the summer, I thought, right, that'll just be Laporte out of the team. And then, Stones has just continued to sort of go back to... Also, Stones has sort of gone back to the Stones before last season where he's had like phantom injuries and stuff and hasn't had a proper run in the team. So... But I think everyone else is just expecting Laporte to just be dropped at some point, but he just hasn't been. And he's by far our biggest goal threat at set pieces. So, yeah, I think people are starting to come around to the idea of, maybe he's nailed. And I don't know whether your next question is going to be, Diaz doesn't look quite as locked as he did last season. When he didn't play against Chelsea, that was a real shock. And there was no reports of injury or anything.
I thought there was something, that he was carrying a niggle or something, I thought I heard. You'll know better.
I don't know. I hadn't heard anything. The only speculation amongst the City fans was that Pep was expecting Chelsea to press a lot more and that he wanted the right foot, left foot combo of Stones and Laporte, and they're the two best ball players. So maybe Diaz has sort of dropped into the sort of tactical rotation almost, whereas last season it was just Diaz plays every single game.
So do you think out of the three, Laporte's now the first choice of the three?
I don't know, I wouldn't say there is a first choice, but I think it's looking like he is the best prospect for FPL, yeah.
Plus as well, you've obviously got Chelsea now obviously coming into blanks. There'll be people sitting there with the likes of Rudiger, Marcus Alonso, perhaps can't get to Robertson. Straightforward, isn't it? Just go and buy Laporte. Forget the doubles and stuff and just buy the great defensive asset from the best defensive team in the country.
Medium term, yeah. I mean, like, I suppose 2 game weeks is short term, isn't it? Yeah, Brentford and Norwich. But then you're chucking all the Champions League games. You just don't know what could happen after that. So I think that's what would maybe put me off. But like you said, sometimes it's just like, don't overthink it. Get him in and then see where you go from there.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want to have Laporte in my team and suddenly be bench boosting when Man City had a single fixture, for example. I'd be nervous. But I mean, beyond the next two, Johnny, Tottenham at home, come on, I know what you're going to say, but Bogey at White Hart Lane, not at the Etihad. Everton away, then the Manchester Derby, Palace, Brighton, Burnley. It's a good run. The only concern there is the Champions League rotation, isn't it? But you've arguably pulled out the weakest team left in the competition in that.
Sporting, yeah. I mean, I do this a lot where I look at City's fixtures or the game coming up and I'm like, oh, that's a tricky fixture. And then we get 10 minutes into it and I'm thinking... I
this
forgot how fucking good we are. Yeah,
you arrogant bastard.
But because sometimes you're looking at fixtures like they say Tottenham at home, thinking, well, that could be a fixture where we don't keep a clean sheet, and then we just probably go and do. And you're thinking, oh yeah, didn't think why didn't I think we're going to keep a clean sheet today?
Yeah, I give a shout out to one of our listeners and good friends of the show, Dave Simple Goal. It was messaging me. It was more in a relation to us. No, it wasn't. It was after the chip pod we did on Tuesday. And he was talking about the idea of free hitting in game week 26 because he's got treble Man City and was a bit worried about Tottenham scoring at the Etihad. I was like, mate, don't worry about that. It's normally one-way traffic at the Etihad. I don't suppose it will be a high-scoring game. But again, from a defensive point of view, I mean, them upcoming fixtures look great. And it's easier to... Although Laporte is obviously a rotational risk, he's no bigger a rotational risk than... Foden, Grealish, KDB. Yeah. It's the same for the forward players, isn't it?
And I think it's getting to the time now where you'll have a strong bench anyway, and centre-back is one of them positions where it's he's unlikely to come off the bench. So if you've got that good bench cover, then you'd be more than happy playing him and just gambling.
Yeah, you're shit unlucky if Laporte doesn't play and you end up with a one-pointer, whereas with the attacking players, there's obviously far greater chance with that. Tom, have you got anything City-wise additionally to Cancelo?
Yeah, I've got Kyle Walker, as we talked about the other day. I thought it might be a clever idea to go over him over Laporte, which was a terrible mistake. And I've still got Bernardo Silva, actually. I just haven't been able to get him to anyone else. You know, I wanted to get Foden in, but I've had other fires to put out at other times, so he's just stayed in my team since. So
Walker, presumably, though, Johnny, with that Champions League suspension, Tom would be better off keeping him at the moment, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's a shocker for us, by the way, because he's so important to us, especially in them Champions League games on the cover. I mean, you'd like to think that we'd probably get away with it against Sporting, but the fact that it goes into the first leg of the quarterfinals if we get through, if that's against someone like PSG, we've got to play against Mbappe without him. That's a worry. But yeah, I mean,
is
the logic,
free game ban then?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was an idiot. Just total brain fart at the end of the game. I don't know what he was doing. That game pissed me off so much. Total dead rubber. And then, yeah, we managed to get Walker a free game ban. But yeah, you'd think the logic would say that he's going to play a lot in the league now. But I don't know. I mean, I know
Pep,
I had...
Pep doesn't always do logic, does he? Not like the rest of us, anyway.
No, and I was just going to say, he's just not that good an FPL asset. Like, no. He gets clean sheets, but he doesn't get that many attacking returns. He doesn't get that many bonus.
No need to rub it in.
I did tell you, Tom. No, but I told Sid as well, go Laporte. I told him that in December.
But Tom, it's like, you think it's just like a solid 6 points?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're thinking that, like, and he does pop up with, like, okay, the odd assist. He's not, like, prolific, like, Cancelo. But I can see why people would go there, because he is reliable. Like you said, he's reliable for starts, and you hope that he would be even more now. But, yeah, I think you're right in this point, James, is it probably is worth gamble Laporte, just go for the extra points.
I mean, if you look at the next four, and you probably think if you're a Kyle Walker owner and you have gone that way, it's probably 20 points sitting there. Like, unless you can really move it on to something a bit more powerful, i.e. Cancelo or perhaps Andy Robertson, because you want the extra Liverpool player if they double in 26, then yeah. I think you just sit rather than make the
it's probably a don't sell point now, yeah.
Johnny, my sacrifice for Salah is Bernardo Silva is the plan. I haven't decided if I'm going to buy him back this week. I am somewhat nervous about selling Bernardo ahead of Brentford or ahead of Norwich. What's your thoughts?
I think I'd be fine with that. I think Bernardo, obviously we all know the debate that raged on Twitter, and I fell for it. I put him straight in, and then he didn't do anything for like 5 weeks, and then I took him straight back out and he got an assist against Arsenal. He was just on such a hot streak, wasn't he? Yeah. He's traditionally just never been that much of an asset at FPL. Absolutely brilliant player, but never been that prolific. Picks up maybe odd goal or odd assist. But yeah, I think it's got to the point where, yeah, I'd be happy to. Of course, he could score against Brentford. He could score against Norwich. But
no, that's my take on it. He's that I'm not moving Trossard at the moment. Certainly not till after 25. I don't really want to wait till 26 for Salah personally. I think it's either this week or 25 for myself.
Yeah,
I don't want to move Jared Bowen on. He's in too good form. I'm not moving Trossard on with the doubled. I could go from Jacob Ramsey straight up to Salah, but I don't really want to go that way either because I just think he's the best value midfielder at around about that price. So I don't really want to.
Have
move
you got
that
Jota?
Either. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming he's sort of like your second consideration. I know there's been a lot of talk.
A little
about
bit,
him,
yeah.
Him I being mean, the four guy.
This is very off Man City versus Brentford, but yeah, why not? I guess if I decide to go for Robertson, then yeah, it would be Jota instead. But I don't want Bernardo longer term, really. Which is interesting because I know there's a lot of other people obviously looking at these next two fixtures going, I've got to have some City attacking. And then there's me sitting there going, actually, that's probably the one I'm going to sacrifice.
Yeah, I think of the players you just named, yeah, I think he's the obvious one. Like I said, talking about rotation, Gundogan could play at Norwich instead of him and you'll be sitting, you'd be kicking yourself if you didn't bring Salah in for him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth the -4 to do it this week, though, with the doubts about Mo Salah. If someone was going to go into an offensive one for the next couple, Johnny, what would you advise? Because people will just want to go for one.
Money no object, KDB. Because he's starting to...
look the business again.
Hit his groove again. And I think that's part of the reason why Gundogan's sort of back on the bench again. Yeah, he is looking really good, KDB. It's a shame we have no doubles, because I think... people would obviously be steaming into City attackers, and I think that's one of the reasons why people aren't steaming into KDB.
So I'm saying you could still have a couple later on in the season, but obviously you've got no games to rearrange as it stands.
Yeah. But like I said, if there wasn't any upcoming doubles, I've got Foden, and I'm going to keep him for these two.
That didn't sound like confidence, though, Johnny. It sounded like I'm keeping him because I've got him a little bit.
Yeah, I've been waiting all season for him to just have a proper good run. I think his best position is left wing for City, but his best position for FPL is as the false nine. And I've been waiting for him to sort of play a run of games in one of them two positions. And he just keeps either picking up an injury, or obviously got dropped for being a naughty boy with Grealish. It just feels like he's just flattered to deceive a little bit in FPL, even though he looks so good. But like I said, I'd sell Bernardo, but I think you've got to keep Foden for these two.
Yeah, I think money no object, KDB 12.2, and I guess there'll be a few looking at Salah's situation with Egypt now, and even wondering, can you go KDB for the two, and then if Liverpool don't have the double, it would be Norwich at home in 26, and then move it on. Then you could obviously skin it that way. I think Foden is still the most interesting pound for pound, I would say. If you are restricted. How's Raz playing? Because he had a little bit of a burst again, then it seemed to go quiet again. It feels like this happens with all your players, mate. They have a little run, people buy them, and then they don't do anything.
He has picked up the form. He was really struggling at the start of the season. But his form had picked up a lot recently. He had a shocker against Southampton, though, which was a real shame to see. Obviously, he had that miss, and he just seemed to go back to like the slow, laborious Sterling. That's the one that we just all don't like, just the hesitant, sort of slow Sterling, the one that misses sitters. You want him running at people. Like against the Chelsea game, he played really well running at Alonso, causing real problems, was unlucky not to score. So, it was a shame to see him have a bad game at Southampton, because he had been playing really well recently.
You play on the left at Southampton?
No, it was on the right.
Yeah. And... oh, yeah, Jesus came on for him, didn't he, later in the game?
Yeah.
Chelsea fans might argue that Romain Perrault is a better defender than Marcus Alonso.
Yeah, he had a really good game, the Southampton left back, actually.
So did Salisu inside of him as well, yeah. Actually. As I've got my eyes on left-footed centre-backs. Have you got any left-footed centre-backs, Tom?
No, I don't think we do, actually.
Oh, I'm not interested then. No. Talk to me about this mythical Josh De Silva then, mate.
He's finally fit. He played 60 minutes against Villa in like a behind closed door friendly yesterday. Scored a goal against Villa as well. For me,
what is he for people who don't know?
Sorry, centre attacking midfielder. Personally, I think he was our best player. He was overshadowed quite a lot last season before by Tony and Bummo, and then obviously before that, Watkins and Benrahma. But he's 22 years old. He came from the Arsenal Academy, and we snapped him up and put him in the B team. And I think he was in the B team for maybe a year at most, and then he went straight into the first team. Creative, unbelievable left foot. I mean, some of the goals he scored have been absolutely ridiculous. For me, he's the creative player that we've really missed this year. We've tried to sort of use our centre mids. The vast majority of centre mids we have in the team at the moment are all basically defenders. I mean, you've got Jan Olt, centre defence, more of a defensive minded player, but he's been playing more attacking. Baptiste, I'd say, is more defensive. Onyeka's defensive, and we just haven't had anyone there who has any real forward momentum, I'd say. And Josh De Silva is that player that we've been missing. Obviously, now we've signed Eriksen, it's a little bit different. But for me, he's still... I think he's a better talent in the club than what Tony and Bummo is.
Could De Silva play with Eriksen, with Norgaard protecting them, and still have Mbeumo and Tony up front? Is that possible?
In certain games, yes. But I think it depends on who we're playing and how confident Frank's feeling, I guess. I mean, I guess in the games what we're coming up with, maybe Newcastle and Burnley, he might decide that's a good idea. De Silva can play sort of like a box-to-box sort of thing. He's, you know, obviously come back to fitness, but before that, he was playing sort of that central midfield, box-to-box player, and then just getting in attacking positions. But I think his best positions when he's just forced forward and allowed to do that.
I presume, though, as and when he is fit, if people want to look to him, and I guess your real swing, kind of really short, is game week 27. Mm. He wouldn't, at 5.3, appeal more than Mbeumo for a couple of pips more than that.
No, probably not. No, unfortunately not. I mean, it's similar to Eriksen, where he just becomes, his fitness allows Mbeumo and Tony to become better options again, because it allows them just to be, do their thing, stay up front. I think actually the most advantage it gives really is Tony. And Mbeumo's been running forward and staying up front most of the year, and Tony's been the one having to be dragged back and trying to create something. By having those players, it allows him just to, it frees him up just to go and, you know, cause a nuisance in the box.
Okay, hypothetical scenario for you, Tom. You won't like this, but you get beat at Everton in the FA Cup at the weekend, and yeah. Leicester also get beat at Nottingham Forest, which would book your fixture in at the King Power in game week 30. To be on, it's obviously the blank game week. Your fixtures before that, Newcastle at home, Norwich away, Burnley at home, then you would play in the blank.
Mm.
If that's the situation, people are going to be asking about Brentford assets going into game week 27. Now, most people aren't as mad as you, Tom, to go with two offensive. So the question would be, money no object, if you were to go back for one of Mbeumo or Tony over that period, where would you go?
At the moment, Tony. The problem with Mbeumo is, for me, there's just so many good midfield options, and I don't think there's that many forward options. I mean, I can't think of, well, I mean, he's in my team, and I can't think of many people I want to replace him with at the moment. I mean, we're looking at maybe Watkins, DCL, if he comes into a bit of form.
Neil Maupay, for the guy who stalks me on YouTube.
Yeah, Neil Maupay.
Former Brentford legend, obviously.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. And Ollie Watkins. And yeah, Ollie Watkins. I could have all Brentford three. Legend. Yeah, I could have all
yeah,
three.
Yeah, you could. Why not, mate? You're that keen on your team. Just go the whole lot, mate.
Throw James Tarkowski in there just to make a full Brentford 11. Yeah, I just think with those players coming back, with Eriksen coming in, with Josh Silva coming back to fitness, I think it allows him to go and do what he does up front. And it really restricted us last year when we lost Josh Silva towards the end of the season. And you saw that Tony's goals at the start of the season was like ridiculous. He was scoring goal after goal, game after game. We lost those creative players in the midfield. He was forced to do that. And I think towards the end of the last season in the Championship, he pretty much only scored penalties. And as you've seen this year, what, he's on four goals so far this season. Two have been pens. So yeah, it allows him to go and the way he plays, he just stay in the box and poach goals.
So what you're hoping for is obviously with the introduction of Eriksen, the return of De Silva, that hopefully the creativity is going to improve for Tony and we might see the actual return. Because, I mean, his actual goals return, you must be a bit disappointed with it, no?
I am, but I'm not really surprised, if that makes sense.
Or are you more annoyed about what he says on yachts while he's on holiday and stuff?
I honestly don't care about that at all. I think we said the other day, I mean, the amount of times...
I don't think the girl he was with cared either, mate.
No, definitely not. I mean, for me, that's not a big deal. He apologised to the manager straight away. I mean, the amount of times I've told Brentford to fuck off is Christ, I couldn't even count them. As I'm sure you are aware with Tottenham and
Johnny with
Man
City
as well.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not Johnny, I'm about to say they don't. But yeah, I mean... I don't really care what he does on his holidays, and if someone wants to record him a film and doing something a little bit stupid, for me it's not that big a deal. And to be honest, I don't think any of the fans really care either. I mean,
that was going to be a follow up question. You think that's it? There's no story here, basically.
He'll come back against Palace, he'll score, and then everyone will love him again. So yeah, no, it's not. I think they tried to make it a bigger deal than it was. He came out, he apologised, he spoke to the manager. If he plays against Everton, I think the best thing to see is, well, it's FA Cup, but it's against Everton. Yeah, he should play. If he doesn't play against Everton and he's benched against Everton, then I'd be a bit more worried. But if he plays against Everton or is on the bench, then it'll be fine.
It depends how pissed he comes back, I suppose, Tom.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
if he comes back, maybe that's what he was trying to say. He's not coming back, mate.
He wanted a transfer. He was doing an old wingy, wasn't he?
And defensively? If you were to go for one for that period, I realize obviously no one's buying now, but honestly, this conversation could come round for game week 27 for Brentford.
Yeah, but by that time, Rea should be back, and that's a massive boost for us. It would either be him or Rico Henry. I'd still stick with Rico Henry, I think, just because, I mean...
It's the potential of his position.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's not that creative on that side. I'd probably go Rea, actually, I think, because he's going to have shots against him. He's a good keeper. He makes a lot of saves. He might get the odd clean sheet here or there during that time, but he will still concede shots. So you're probably looking at maybe a throw in a couple of six-pointers, and then there's going to be some save points on top of that. If it's a low-scoring game, might even get some bonus in there as well.
I take it you'd expect Rea back in goal for the City game.
Yeah, so he played... Oh, I'm not sure. He played 60 minutes yesterday. Yeah, I don't think he'll play against Everton, and I think he'll play against City, yeah.
That's a good training match, isn't it? Man City away.
To throw yourself back into it.
Get your reflexes up and stuff.
Exactly.
Johnny, any Brentford players for you at the moment?
No. I did have Tony in and Boomer early in the season, but... And
you got pissed off with him, not everyone else. Tom's the only one who didn't.
Yeah, I've loved the low ownership. That's about as excited as I could get.
See, when you played Norwich...
Mbeumo just flat to the sea for so long, didn't he? Yeah. He played him every week. Adamant he was going to score, thinking, sure, this guy's playing up front, 5.5 mil, surely he's going to score.
And then he hit the post again.
When you lost at home to Norwich, Tom, it felt like everybody had both of them. That's how it felt on Twitter anyway, and they had a goal disallowed, didn't they? And then there was one the following week, I think, was goal...
Disallowed.
I think
he scored two in 2 weeks, and they're both disallowed for offside. So, yeah, fun.
Cool. Guys, pleasure as always. Thanks so much. Before we let you go, let's do correct score predictions for the game next Wednesday night then. Off you go, Johnny.
I'll go 3-0 City.
Oh, that's braver than what you normally go with, to be fair.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Tom,
If Ray is back, 0-0, and if he's not, then and if he's not, it could be 5 or 6. So
what you're saying, 3-0 as well? Yeah,
yeah, probably 3-0. Go in the middle. Why not?
All right, yeah, I'll make it full house. I never feel like Tom. You don't. We've spoken about this a few times. You don't strike me as the sort of team that's ever going to get mugged off 5 or 6. Although, admittedly, when you play
four at at Southampton the other week.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, to be honest, you could have lost by more than 3 at Liverpool as well, actually. But I think, the return of players that have been missing, the integration and just psychologically of Eriksen into the squad, I think it'd give you a little bit of boost. I never actually think that you're going to get properly battered. So I'll go 3-0 as well. And Johnny, you winning that league?
Yeah, I think so.
And Tom, you staying up?
Yeah.
Nice. Johnny, where can everyone follow you on Twitter, mate?
At FPL Pringle.
And yourself, Tom?
FPL Dummy Tom.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, guys. Next week, I got a blockbuster lined up for your Clash of the Correspondents. I didn't know what I was going to do, but apparently Man United and Brighton have got a double game week. So Gary is my cap playing, and Sam, FPL Seagull, will be joining me to preview Manchester United and Brighton's double game week. That will be available for you next Thursday. Thanks again to Johnny and to Tom. Good luck next week, guys. Cue music, please, Manchild. Messi,